And I'm sure the Blue Army went up as one, as she did win the Magic Millions two-year-old classic. And James Cummings joins us this morning on the back of that victory yesterday. Good morning and congratulations, James.
Yeah, thanks, Warren. Yeah, it was a big moment, a big day for us. And I hope you've got the opportunity to see, like, sort of this sort of passion that the team's got when we get a good horse like her to a big race day. And not only that, but to achieve a little bit of, like vindication that the right call, getting back into the yearling market, being involved in Australian racing, like knee deep instead of sort of back of the periphery, and that was a wonderful statement to make, I think, with a well bred filly like her.
I agree, James. And look, the Godolphin operation does so much for racing, even at the grassroots level. But great to see you back at the sales. But another good part of the narrative, I suppose, of this story is that Vin Cox, coming from the Magic Millions to then head the Godolphin operation in Australia from a management point of view, you know, part of that team that then bought the filly that heads back there and takes out the race. Does that add another element of I suppose, pleasure and satisfaction to the victory?
Look. I'll tell you a couple of things about Vin. He said to me when he started, sat in the boardroom there at Crown Lodge, and he said, "I'm going to Dubai next week. What message do you want me to take with me?" I just have one thing on my mind. I'd love us to start buying some yearlings again. And he said, "Oh, I see it the same way. That's what I'm going to do." So he pitched it to them beautifully. Dubai were on board because, as John Gosden said to me throughout the week, they are not blind to the fact that racing all around Australasia looks like being the future of racing and the real epicentre of racing in the years to come. So the support and the engagement with racing here in Australia is an important thing for Vin and I, from the perspective that it's seen in a positive and a healthy light by Dubai, and I think they voted with their feet, which is the most, it's the most important thing and an important message for us to get. And then I fast forward, after we bought these yearlings, and Exhilarates had her second race start at Gosford, and I was driving back from Agnes Banks just to check on her one Monday afternoon, and he said, "What are you going to do with Exhilarates now?" I said, sort of run a very, he's just slashing his unlucky second at Gosford, sort of got on the yield before the 600-metre mark, and a 1,000-metre race, not easy to overcome that sort of interference. And I said, "Well, a couple of the guys are thinking of just tipping her out, but I'd love to keep her going because I think she's got more than what she showed that day." And he said, "Totally agree. Let's drive on. Let's run her in the Wyong Magic Millions because you'll at least get that restricted listed black tie placing if she can flash home and run a place. She improved out of sight at Wyong. She improved again a couple of lengths when she ran last week on the Gold Coast, and I think I don't know what you think, Chris and Dean. You guys do the form pretty closely, but she had to have improved another couple of lengths there yesterday, don't you think?"
How did you see it, Dean?
Absolutely, James. And I heard you after the race paying compliment to her mental strength and her ability to cope with what she's had to do in the last few weeks. Is that something you can identify early in her, or is that something that she grew on you as you got closer to, say, yesterday's race?
The beautiful thing about, one of the good things about Exhilarates, and I've seen it in a number of fillies, well-bred fillies in the past that came through Leilani Lodge, is that she wasn't showing us how good she was last preparation. She had it all hidden beneath the surface. She was just lobbing along off the bridle. Everything we did with her, she was able to cope with. But there was no real brilliance being exhibited. And I think that's part of her mental strength. You know, she's not a ball-tearing sprinter. She's sharp and she's got a very impressive class. But she doesn't go out there wanting to show that, you know, three times a week in her fast work and in every jump out and every trial. So the first times I started noticing it, the mental strength that she's got, is every time we throw a little bit more work at her, she'd just sort of come off the track with her head between her knees, just sort of like it was easy for her. You know, she was just mucking around. She's not tired. She's not blowing. She's copying it so easily. So fast forward to the Wyong Magic Millions race day, and she got squeezed up by a couple of big colts when they were coming out of the barriers. And she, although she got spat backwards, you know, a lot further than expected that day, she sort of is able to regather herself and sort of savage the line despite that. And I think that's pretty rare. And it's rare in a two-year-old. It's rare, especially in a small filly. But that's the thing with a good two-year-old, that they tend to have great brains for racing, and they just adapt beautifully to different circumstances. And she's shown a number of times already in her short career that she's got the ability to adapt very quickly.
I think, James, you hit the nail on the head there. Those two runs, the Gosford run and the Wyong run, she ran into trouble on each occasion, and as you said, she picked herself up and she was very strong to the line. I think her last 200 sectionals in those races was the best in the race, or each race. And then she went to the Gold Coast, of course, and she was far too strong there. So she was always going to be suited by the step up to 1,200 metres. Just one question. Start number one, she was a little bit disappointing on paper. Was there some respiratory problems on that occasion?
Yeah, so she pulled up, and she pulled up having a little bit of a funny noise post-race. And I'm convinced that riders tend to hear that more often when they get beaten than when they win, because winners don't tend to come back to you and tell you all about the problem. I can only remember one was doing it when they've won, but as far as feedback from the rider goes, but I'm sure it's happened more often than that. She was a late nom in a very small field in a 1200 metre race, and you know, the prize money that she was able to gain there, even if she was just like a fraction not quite ready, I could sense that prize money might come in handy, particularly for a race like Magic Millions. So I've won the 740 metre trial. She went straight to that race, and so I definitely forgive her that. We actually won that race with a sidestep filly called Kia Michi, and she fell across the line and she sort of out muscled Sebra Kate, who also ran in the Magic Millions yesterday. So the race was okay, but that clearly wasn't the run of a Magic Millions winner. Like I said to you earlier, I've seen that with good fillies in the past. I saw Norzita get beaten at Gosford her first start in a race, and I've seen First Seal get beaten at Canterbury her first start in a race. And we're talking about maidens, and these horses are so classy; they should just be winning those races with their heads on their chest. But because they've got that ability to find things so easily in the lead up to those races, when the pressure goes on a long way out, you know that it's new territory for those horses, and that they don't always have that immediate ability to switch on and demonstrate that speed, because they're not keen horses in their work in the interim.
She's shown a good bit of resilience and toughness already by being able to back up and win yesterday. What does the remainder of the two-year-old season hold for Accelerates?
Well, you know, she's so sound and tough, and coped with her racing really beautifully, that I wouldn't be afraid to run her a couple more times as a two-year-old. But we had some early preliminary talks about what we might do with her next, and it's 8 weeks to the Riesling Slipper trial, so that's probably the path we're going to take with her. But she'll be getting back to Osborne Park and having a little reprieve in the paddock there, but not too long, but in enough time to get her back to Crown Lodge and back in the gym and pumping some iron so she can be ready for a day like that.
The day started off well at Flemington also with the two-year-old victory of Microphone. You talked about how excited the team were at the Gold Coast. Kate Grimwade, who heads up your team down here in Melbourne, was pretty thrilled with the performance of both Orcs and Microphone in the first at Flemington. And I spoke to her post-race and she said, well, could be a good day for the team. She said, I've done my bit. It's over to James now. And you certainly delivered. But what did you make out of the first race at Flemington?
Yeah, look, I thought that I thought that Microphone held it together on the day really, really well. He didn't get too carried away, which was a bit of a risk with that colt. And he ended up, once he got out onto the track, composing himself really well. I've seen a lot of horses their first start up the straight, stargaze and have a look around and get lost and not show their true ability. But I was impressed that he was able to dive at the line for a narrow win over a brazen bow filly that Tony McAvoy told us he has a very high opinion of. Linda Hardy looks like she's got a really nice filly there. We were actually underbidder on that horse at the sales last year. And of course, we had the third colt across the line auction. So our two Exceed and Excel colts went really nicely. You could have seen the improvement. Dean, you would have seen him parade. I was watching the parade with my father, actually, from the Gold Coast on TV on racing.com, and you could see that you could see how soft Microphone looked in the enclosure before the race.
Yeah, he'll certainly improve off that, James. And it was probably good timing that he got onto the track. He was getting a little bit amorous in the mounting yard in the last couple of minutes before he got onto the track, but it was ideal timing, and once he got out there, he was very composed. And it was interesting that Dwayne Dunn virtually took the same path that he did in the trial the week before in that lane that he was down the straight, and the horse had no problem with going in the straight line.
Yeah, which is, you know, it's really encouraging to see them exhibit that sort of professionalism early. And there was no doubt Orkin will jump out of the ground over 11, 1,200 metres. That bit further looks like it's much more up his alley. I kind of wish he got a little bit more cover there, that colt, in order to be a bit stronger late. But, you know, I still think that he did a great job. And my feeling was that there wasn't three lengths between those two colts going into the race. But then that was probably justified in the end, only going down by 3/4 of a length. You're right. You were getting a bit amorous in the yard. We actually have when we geld our horses at Godolphin, we have to just go through the right channels, and we put together the paperwork, and we create what's called a gelding consent form. So there's a gelding consent form already on someone's desk for that horse, Microphone.
Does he know about that?
We always tell them for their last start. We always tell someone has to whisper it in their ear after they're settled up. So we told him, and I think he might have started to forget that warning at the end of that parade, but he did a good job, and I think he staved off that form, that gelding, for a little bit longer.
We're heading towards the Blue Diamond down here in Victoria as our feature two-year-old of the season. Do those two horses form part of your team heading that way?
Well, there's a number of nice races that we can steer them towards just to dip our toe in the water and see if they're the sorts of horses that have the class for that race. Based on their performance yesterday, I'm starting to think that they both have the right credentials. But we also have a really good filly up in training at Crown Lodge at the moment in Sydney by the name of Ethereum. Did you see her win a few months ago?
I did, yeah. Really strong through the line and impressive, and even eased up the last little bit, I think.
That's right. And a horse that ran second in our race is Accession. It's won the English Nursery, and it's one of the favourites for the English Millennium. He's another Brazen Bow colt. Yeah, I've dropped Brazen Bow a couple of times this interview. The Noms team will be happy with him.
But he'll be a free service horse, coming up.
Yeah, yeah. That horse Accession's are quite a talent. So for her to do that on debut, then I think that reveals that she's quite a talented filly herself, and she'd probably be one of the top seeds of our team. But you know, if she goes to a prelude or a preview and finds herself lining up against the Star Spangled Banner filly that won at Moonee Valley, I think that'd be a pretty good matchup, because I couldn't help but be impressed by that horse a few months ago when she won it at the Valley.
We've taken up quite a bit of your time this morning. I'd just like to pick your brain about another one that I saw jump out at Flemington on Friday, a two-year-old called Lanagira. Where might he be heading?
Well, I've got a choice to make with him. I could either run that horse in a 1,000-metre two-year-old maiden at Moonee Valley and kick him off somewhere, well, I shouldn't say easy, because no two-year-old maiden this time of year is easy. I think they're all full of horses that I've got that are talented and precocious, and I have to always be wary. But the day after that is is one of the lead-ups to the Blue Diamond, and it's a Group 3, so it's also over 1,000 metres, and it's run at Caulfield. He's had that Caulfield experience already, and things didn't quite go to plan with him on debut in the debutante. So I'll give that some more thought and talk to the guys after he's had an easy weekend following the trial, and we'll come up with a bit of a plan there. But I think he's ready to go over 1,000 metres, and he's ready to run well fresh up. He's a very fast colt, that horse. You've got to keep working on his ability to control that speed.
James, we invite our audience to participate via SMS, and 0416905052 is the number to contribute. And a number of people already have this morning, and you are by far and away the most overwhelming topic at the moment. James Cummings is great for racing, and how he engages with the racing media and its audience. It's first class. Thank you to Ollie for that. And another one that says, how good is it to listen to James Cummings? Is he really Bart's grandson? that was from Paul in the city. Terrific day at the races yesterday for the team, James, and I know you have built a terrific team culture with Vin Cox and everybody that's involved at Godolphin. It's great to see, and it's good for racing in Australia. Thanks for joining us.
No, thanks. Sorry, before I go, Chris, can I ask you one question? When you do your form, do you ever pull out the stewards' reports from Queensland to have a glance over some things you might have missed on a tape?
Yes, I always look at the stewards' reports. Have I missed something there?
I thought I might have picked up on like a comment from Exhilarate because
might have been something.
I thought you might have like got squeezed at the start or something. Anyway, there's no mention of Exhilarate at the start. So Karen's convinced when he talked to me last night after his third champagne, was telling me about what was happening at the start. But then it struck me that the rider of Yes 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 dropped his whip at the furlong, and I thought that was very, very impressive considering that horse was still in its box when the race was on. It's a good tool, that, the stewards report, but I do feel for the guys. They rush it out every Saturday night after the race. There's bound to be some mistakes there from time to time.
Well, there is a rumour, always has been a rumour, they need to pick up their Chinese meal on the way home. So they need to get out of the course pretty quickly.
Yeah, that's right.
And etymology, James, talk was last week when we spoke to you, he was still ticking over and might even head to New South Wales for a staying race in the weeks ahead. What's the plan there?
Yeah, there's a race called the Australia Day Cup. It's run at Warwick Farm this year over a mile and a half. And while he's such an impressive Flemington horse, he's got like a real love affair with the Flemington Circus. Unfortunately, this is just like the right race to keep him up in that staying range that he's just relishing at the moment. So we've already brought him back to Agnes Banks, and he galloped yesterday and gave his rider a great deal. He's still showing all those signs that he's thriving with that peak fitness that he's in right now. So we'll head that way with him, and you'll see him run at Warwick Farm later this month.
Thanks so much for spending so much time with us and giving us a great update on the team, but in particular, congratulations on the victory of Exhilarate yesterday, James.
All right, thanks, guys. Thanks for having me.